This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day where, thank goodness, we appear to have survived the holiday weekend. For so many religious traditions, of course, Easter for all of the more than a couple of billion Christians in the world, and it's the holy month of Ramadan for the more than a billion people of Muslim faith, the Passover for Jewish people. We're still in the midst of the Passover holiday, the middle days of the celebration, and then the very final days, which come up on Thursday and Friday of this week, are the conclusion of the Passover holiday. And there's also a wonderful holiday for North Korea, the 110th birthday of Kim Il-sung, the grandfather of the current dear leader, and the father of North Korea. So they celebrated with a big gala military parade, and the Pentagon has now confirmed a report that the country had tested a tactical guided weapon on Sunday with a stated goal of boosting its nuclear fighting capability. What does it all mean? It's great to speak to Nick Eberstadt again, who is an expert on so many different threats to the United States and to the world, including very much the threat of domestic poverty, which I hope we will get to. But he is the holder of the Henry Wendt Chair in Political Economy at American Enterprise Institute. He is the best-selling author of some time ago, The End of North Korea, which basically looks at what is happening in the Hermit Kingdom. Nick, always great to talk to you. Is this significant, the fact that they have been conducting 13 tests, I think it is, so far this year?
I mean, it's very significant, Michael. I mean, what it tells us, or at least the way I would interpret this, is it tells us that the North Korean state is back on its feet after being more or less incapacitated by the COVID pandemic crisis, partly due to its own inept response to that crisis. Now that the economy is strong enough to continue the long-standing game plan, I think that we should be prepared for more of the same, because they need to test, because they need to prepare for the war that they want to fight and win.
When you say they want to fight and win, doesn't the rhetoric from North Korea say that they basically want these nuclear weapons, including the tactical nuclear weapons, for defensive purposes, to in order to avoid the United States and South Korea, which have superior conventional forces, from actually attacking North Korea and liquidating the regime? Is that their real concern, or do they have fighting for something more?
On the one hand, as you correctly note, they will describe their nuclear weapons as a war deterrent, implying that they're under constant threat of attack from the U.S.-ROK alliance, which is a defensive alliance. On the other hand, they always state that their long-term objective is the unification of the Korean people under an independent government, that which is code language for the government, for a government based in Pyongyang, run by the Kim family, with Americans out of the peninsula. And since the Worker Party Charter still represents the revolution in the entire peninsula as the objective of the political project that is North Korea, I think we should probably take it pretty seriously.
And what does that mean? It seems to me that part of what is going on right now is they're doing all this, watching very closely how the United States is handling the situation in Ukraine, where we clearly are very concerned about the prospect of Russian tactical nuclear weapons. And given the sort of added respect we're giving to Russia because of their nukes, how do we avoid doing the same sort of reaction concerning North Korean nukes?
I don't think there's any way, honestly speaking, that we can talk the North Korean leadership out of their nuclear quest any more than we can have a sort of a gab factory that will convince them that they really shouldn't reunify the Korean Peninsula on their own terms unconditionally. I mean, these are fused into the basic precepts of the North Korean state. So if they see a war in Ukraine, the Rorschach test will be, it's great to have nuclear weapons, look at Russia. It's terrible to give up your nuclear weapons like Ukraine did. What do we learn from that? Anything that they see internationally, I think, leads them to the conclusion that, yeah, we need more nuclear weapons and we need to be ready to have a confrontation with the United States in the Korean Peninsula and get Uncle Sam to blink in this confrontation so we can finally get him out of the peninsula and get on with the business at hand.
So what does that mean for us going forward? There's been, Nick, as you know, so much speculation that China might use our preoccupation with the tragic and shocking situation in Ukraine, that China might use our preoccupation there to make a move on Taiwan. I believe what you've written about and speculated is it's even more likely that North Korea might use our preoccupation and the distraction of Ukraine to make a move on South Korea, which is immediately possible for them, is it not?
Well, the North Korean objectives, I think, are very radical. They want to overturn the political map in the Korean Peninsula. And they would prefer to break the U.S. security architecture, not just in Northeast Asia, but, I mean, through East Asia, if that were possible. So the goals are really radical. And that said, they're cautious in pursuing these goals. They did it, you know, they did do that nice surprise attack in June of 1950, the grandfather did. But that was when he and Stalin and Mao were sure that the United States would not respond to it, not least because Dean Acheson had drawn a defense perimeter that had South Korea outside of our areas of interest. If North Korea does call the day in the Korean Peninsula, they'll be doing so, I think, at a time when they feel immensely confident that there won't be a U.S. response, when they can get the U.S. to blink or get Uncle Sam out of the peninsula. I mean, they know as well as anybody else does that if we really have to think the unthinkable, they're going to lose and lose very badly. Having the weapons to be able to call a crisis at the place and time of their choosing gives them confidence that they may be able to push the United States the way they've been pushing the U.S. for 30 years in a kind of like a brinkmanship game.
Nick Eberstadt, if you can you stay with us for a few minutes more? Because you're a political economist, and I want to talk about politics and the economy here in the United States. Crucial and very controversial, explosive subject. Coming back with Nick Eberstadt of American Enterprise Institute.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
And on the Michael Medved Show, very pleased to welcome back Nick Eberstadt, who holds the Henry Wendt Chair in Political Economy at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington, where he researches and writes extensively on demographics and economic development generally, and more specifically on international security in the Korean Peninsula and Asia. Domestically, he focuses on poverty and social well-being. Dr. Eberstadt is also a senior advisor to the National Bureau of Asian Research. Moving for a moment from the nightmarish precincts of North Korea to what is going on right here in the United States. One of the ironies that the Biden administration has been trying to put forward to the American people is that by some measures, the economy is not bad, not in terms of growth. The wages are up. The unemployment is down. But the inflation is continually reported, according to pollsters, to be the main concern of the American people. Do you believe that there is anything that any administration, certainly the Biden administration very specifically, could do to address the rage, the insecurity, the fears that Americans have on this inflation front?
Well, it's a pretty tough problem, and the Biden administration, of course, has inflamed it with its enormous social spending agenda. One of my colleagues at American Enterprise Institute, Dr. Michael Strain, estimated that about 3 percentage points of the current inflation rate are due specifically to the $2 billion spending package last year, the so-called recovery program. Restricting energy production at home has pretty predictable consequences on energy prices. The important political aspect of inflation is that everybody feels it, and it makes everybody feel poorer. Now, with unemployment, you may be unemployed, you may know somebody who's unemployed, but not 100% of the population is unemployed or knows someone who's unemployed. The impact of inflation on popular perceptions is, I think, is much more stark and acute.
And the likelihood that in terms of trying to deal with inflation, we are almost certain to be forced into some kind of recession. And I guess what concerns me is that we have this rising crime rate, and it is now undeniable, and it's very serious. And that really should be impacting every American wherever you live. As well, we have the economic insecurity, and we have this disastrous situation and profound threats in Europe, in East Asia, in the Korean Peninsula specifically, as we are talking about. In terms of the priorities of moving forward and trying to resolve some of these calamitous developments, if the president called you and said, okay, Dr. Eberstadt, what do we do in this situation? The top priorities you would counsel him on would be?
Michael, I think you and I know we have to begin, if we want clear thinking, by calling the animals by their proper names. And it's not just the Biden administration's problem. It's a more general problem in our country today. We've forgotten things that our elders and our ancestors knew in their bones. For example, that there is a distinction between poverty and misery. And you were just pointing at that. We have a higher level of income, a higher living standard materially than any previous American population has ever enjoyed. And yet at the same time, there is rampant misery and degradation. Part of that is the crime problem you mentioned. Part of that is the breakdown of families. Part of that is dependence on drugs, dependence on government benefits, which infantilize people. Part of that is pornography or jumping into the internet and losing part of yourself through kind of like sacrificing your actual life to your online life, all of these are different parts of the, all of these are different aspects of degradation in our modern life. And as long as we focus just on income and income levels in our poverty programs, we miss all of this. We miss so many things that really make life worth living for people. And for whatever reason, our policy poverty policies haven't been able kind of like to state the obvious about that. Maybe because it necessarily gets us into talking about ethics and morality.
Again, the direction where you go is that in the past, when there have been foreign threats, it has seemed to bring the American people together. That even happened at least in the first few years after September 11th. There doesn't seem to be much coming together in light of the foreign threats that we face now. Why not?
Well, I think we've had a really severe and quite pervasive failure of our elites in the United States, especially as our century has progressed. And one of the problems that we have in our elites today that we didn't have certainly the same measure, 9/11, was a conviction that the American project is illegitimate. The American project is the problem. The American power is the problem. I think when you talk to, you have to learn that in school, let's say. That isn't an idea that comes to people naturally. And it isn't even an idea that comes to a lot of well-educated people. But it is politically entrenched, unfortunately. It can eventually, I think, be leached out. Or it's a poison that has to be drained, however.
And let us hope that some of that can get done. This obviously is a big concern when it comes to talking about school curricula and what we teach our children and how we inspire them. That has motivated the great victory for Glenn Youngkin and the Republicans in the state of Virginia. Could it animate and maybe unite at least elements of the old conservative coalition again? We'll talk about it. Nick Eberstadt of the American Enterprise Institute, his most recent articles linked at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
A Florida judge says not so fast and is striking down the mask mandate on planes and other forms of public transportation. The judge saying the CDC overstepped its authority and declared the rule invalid after it was recently extended through May 3rd. Due to concerns about a new subvariant of Omicron. Parts of Ukraine are being pounded by another wave of Russian missile attacks.
They hit targets over the weekend in Lviv, and they also launched some airstrikes into Kyiv itself as well. What we think they're doing is going after military or military-related targets.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby saying the Ukrainians are still defending the key port city of Mariupol despite a fierce ongoing Russian attack. Kirby adding the Ukrainian forces are brave and valiant. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world. And that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
And on the Michael Medved show, talking about some of the alarming trend lines that we see, I know that Republicans, as a partisan concern, are very much looking forward to the upcoming election. But there are first some very rough primaries, and there's the ongoing crises around the world, all of which are wildly unpredictable. One of the difficulties facing President Biden right now is highlighted by the fact that he apparently has agreed to a request by President Zelensky of Ukraine. President Zelensky wants a high-level U.S. visit, like the famous, now very controversial, but actually a very useful, it seems to me, appearance by Boris Johnson walking down the streets of Kiev with President Zelensky, showing very direct support by going there. They want Biden to go to Ukraine, but the Biden administration basically has taken a look at the kind of security that would be necessary to send an American president to the midst of a war zone, and that kind of security would be taking away from the protection of Ukraine itself, and would have to divert some military resources from Ukraine itself at a time when it can hardly afford to do that, with a climax approaching in Donbass and elsewhere. So, who does he send? And again, people have talked about, well, he's, sending Kamala Harris to Ukraine. And that would only highlight her incredibly negative polling ratings and the fact that she inspires even less confidence than a president who is faltering.
No.
And all of this goes down to, well, a claim by the Democratic pollster Terrence Woodbury, who appeared on MSNBC, which is a network that in a lot of its news coverage, of course, is gives a lot of slack to the Biden administration, to say the least. And this Democratic pollster says that when they look ahead at their prospects in this upcoming election, they need to make sure that there is one name that is on the ballot. And how do they do that? Well, listen, it's a fascinating and very warped view, it seems to me, of looking at the upcoming election. This is clip 17.
You talk to a lot of younger voters, but you also talk to voters across the spectrum. Do you feel that sense of urgency from voters this time around? Or are people like just exhausted and wipe the sweat from their brow and they're not planning to participate? What's your take?
We have to put Trump back on the ballot, right? That the multiracial coalition, that surge that you spoke of in 2018 and that came back out in 2020, what united that surge was an anti-MAGA, anti-Trump, anti-racism sentiment that really started to bubble up in the summer of 2020. We have to put Trump back on the ballot, but that does not mean that we get to make every Republican seem like Trump. It means that we have to literally explain that if Republicans win the House and the Senate in 2022, they will reinstall Trump in 2024.
Okay. Again, what he's talking about here is repulsive because no one can believe that it's true. At the very end, he says, I literally have to explain that if Republicans win the House and the Senate in 2022, they will reinstall Trump. They cannot reinstall Trump. And the idea that it is a Democratic pollster who is trying to embrace a fringe position by a fringe of a fringe of a fringe of the MAGA nation. Most people understand, I think, that there is no possible constitutional way, it is not imaginable, that Trump takes over the presidency before the presidential election of 2024. Is it likely that he would win if he runs as a candidate in 2024? It's possible he would. It's not likely, I don't think, but there is a new poll that shows he is less hated than every other prominent politician in the country right now. But the idea, what this is based on, and just so that everybody understands how wacko this is. Okay, here's the deal. They reinstate Trump this way. Is that when the Republicans take over the House, and I think it is when, not if, they're very likely to take over the House, they get to elect the House Speaker. And one of the things that many people don't realize is you don't have to be a member of the House of Representatives to be elected as Speaker. And their basic idea is Nancy Pelosi's gone. And then they go ahead in the House and they elect as the new Speaker Donald J. Trump, who takes the job. Why? Because then he could lead the House in impeaching both President Biden and Vice President Harris. That's never happened before. I mean, the closest that we've come was there was an impeachment going on against Richard Nixon. At the time that his vice president, Spiro Agnew, on a completely unrelated case, was forced to resign. Okay, the idea of impeaching both Harris and Biden, as appealing as that may be to some Republicans, it is extraordinarily unlikely. But see, then if you get rid of both President Biden and Vice President Harris simultaneously, then who becomes president? The Speaker of the House. And remember, in this little fantasy, I told you it's bizarre, but in January of 2023, with 2 years still left to serve as President of the United States, Trump becomes president. Because he's been elected Speaker of the House, and then as Speaker of the House, he's succeeded in impeaching both President Biden and Vice President Harris. The idea that Republicans would go before the American people with that kind of promise that our first priority is going to be to install Trump in the White House again, not in the next scheduled election in 2024, but through a special impeachment crisis, I think it's preposterous. We've never had a president removed from office through impeachment. The only president who's ever been removed from office was Richard Nixon, who was removed from office by himself. It was his decision to resign. The other aspect of all of this is this surprising story in The Federalist. And it points out that more than a year out of office, former President Donald Trump is more popular than his Democrat successor and the entire congressional leadership. According to the latest aggregate of favorability ratings by Real Clear Politics, Trump maintains a net negative of 55.5 percentage points, far higher than Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who has the lowest at a net negative of 32 points. Nobody likes Mitch McConnell, apparently. President Biden is viewed unfavorably by an 8.5% spread, followed by Democrat Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, 14-point spread, Vice President Kamala Harris by more than a 14-point spread, etc. The striking thing here is that none of these people has a high favorable rating. Trump has the highest, which is 45%. He's negative 50 by 50.5%. So who could beat Trump, at least according to Mick Mulvaney, his former chief of staff? Surprising candidate for president. We'll talk to you about which one coming up on the MedVed Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Should homeless people look to Adolf Hitler as a personal example and an inspiration? There's actually an elected state senator who thinks absolutely that's the way they can get out of their homeless dilemma. We will get to that source of argument coming up on the Medved Show. Let's go first to Sid calling in from Atlanta. Sid, you're on the Medved Show.
Hey, Michael, thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, you bet.
Yeah, as you were saying, I know you wasn't straight up serious, but I think Trump would never take another job, whether it's for Speaker. He would never take another job except for the presidency. And the reason I say this real quick is that, in my opinion, President Obama had a wave and Trump had a wave. And the difference is that President Obama had 8 years. Trump did not have 8 years. And him and his constituents believe that they are supposed to do another year, 4 years to, anyway, to make a long story short, ever since the Biden and Trump debate, no one can tell me, not even you, can tell me what Trump is coming back for or coming back to finish. He never said it. All he could say is that he had a stolen election. And it's all because a black man who acts presidential had 8 years, and he deserved it. And Trump, any Republican could do what Trump is doing. His presidency, he messed up his own presidency, and he does not deserve another 4 years. And he's embedding people all over the states, so that when he snapped his finger, we need to worry about domestic before we worry about international. We would need to worry about Trump because he happens to be Putin's oligarch.
Well, one thing that President Trump apparently just has suggested that if he were president again, he would threaten using nuclear weapons against Putin, which is a concerning point. Look, here is the reason that people believe, and this includes some people who are fairly close to President Trump, believe that under the scenario that they follow, that he would accept the speakership. He would allow himself to be Speaker of the House. It's a bizarre, because Trump doesn't know anything about the House. But then again, he didn't know that much about the presidency when he took over as president in 2017, and a lot of people think he did just great. There's also this, and Sid, you got to keep it in mind, and please listen to me. This is something I don't agree with, But it is a factor that now 57% of Republicans, according to a brand new poll that was featured in the New Republic, 57% of Republicans believe that January 6th, that horrible riot where they attacked the Capitol building, was an act of patriotism. The people were asked to choose. They only had one of two choices. Either it was an insurrection against the government, or it was an act of patriotism to defend the government. And people in the Republican side thought it was an act of patriotism to defend the government. Hey, Sid, appreciate your call. There is this going on in terms of what I mentioned before about that plan and about another candidate for president. The question that is posed by The Independent over in Great Britain, one of the leading newspapers out of London, what do Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott all have in common? If you find yourself drawing a blank, don't beat yourself up. Mick Mulvaney, perhaps the only person who could manage to sandwich these three figures into the same thought, will have surprised some political readers when the former Trump chief of staff listed these three as the only nominees capable of upsetting the former president's run at re-election in 2024. Quote, DeSantis could give him a run for his money, said Mick Mulvaney, former congressman, former budget director, former chief of staff of the White House. DeSantis could give him a run for his money. Tim Scott can give him a run for his money. Dwayne The Rock Johnson would give him a run for his money, said Mulvaney, who is now a pundit who was being interviewed for Politico's Playbook. While the first two commonly are cited as figures, and then floated the possibility of making a run for the GOP nomination in 2024, particularly Governor DeSantis, who Republicans have indicated a keen interest in backing as a running mate on the hypothetical Trump ticket, the Jungle Cruise actor's name being thrown in was not as expected. There have yet to be any statements released from the former pro wrestler's camp about whether there could be any truth behind Mick Mulvaney's speculations, but it isn't the first time that Johnson's name has come up in relation to running for public office. And this is something I've been unaware of. We've talked about this before because the right race for Dwayne Johnson would be governor of California, where I don't really believe, despite the fact that he won his recall election, that Gavin Newsom is all that popular, or the Democrats in Sacramento were all that popular. The problem is that Republicans have had a tough time finding the right candidate, and again, following the example of Arnold Schwarzenegger and a governor, former actor named Ronald Reagan, that's, if Johnson is serious about this, where he ought to go. In interviews, they write in The Independent, dating back as early as 2016, Johnson has openly discussed how at various points in his life he has seriously considered making a run for the White House. I'll be honest, he said to British GQ in a 2016 interview, I can't deny that the thought of being governor, the thought of being president, is alluring. And beyond that, it would be an opportunity to make a real impact on people's lives on a global scale. Then again, in 2017, he confirmed to Ellen DeGeneres during an interview on her show that he was seriously considering a run for president. Yes. Shortly after confirming his intentions to DeGeneres, the actor told USA Today in a separate interview that his aspirations for the highest office in the country stemmed from a passion to serve the people and create a better environment for them. Is it totally unthinkable? I don't think it is unthinkable. What is unthinkable is a big political future for a Republican state lawmaker in Tennessee. His name is Senator Frank Nicely, and he was supporting a bill that I think is a very fine bill. It's a bill that would make it illegal to camp in public. People were opposed to the bill, saying it was a desire to criminalize homelessness. But dealing with these encampments that are even a problem in cities like Memphis and Nashville in Tennessee, dealing with this problem, yes, it appears an appropriate area for state legislation, but the argument that he put forward probably doesn't work. Listen to Senator Nicely.
Speaker, I haven't given you all a history lesson in a while, and I want to give you a little history on homelessness. 1910, Hitler decided to live on the streets for a while. So for 2 years, Hitler lived on the streets and practiced his oratory and his body language and how to connect with his, and then went on to lead a life that got him in the history books. So a lot of these people, it's not a dead end. They can come out of these homeless camps and have a productive life, or in Hitler's case, a very unproductive life. I support this bill. Thank you.
I'm for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and
gay. Senator Nicely, really? Can you imagine some of our homeless citizens out there saying, well, by golly, if Adolf can do it, so can I. And Hitler was not deliberately living a homeless life, and certainly not for any length of time, so that he could learn to be Der Führer. And the idea of putting forward Adolf Hitler as an inspiration for homeless people. This, by the way, Senator Nicely has provoked previous controversies by pushing for a Obama birth certificate discreditation in the legislature, and also as an outspoken defender of cockfighting in Tennessee. Speaking of history, does our history demand reparations? We will be talking about that coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients, and its alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.